Thank you, Lord, for this day. We magnify you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. We thank you for this Bible study. We ask that you speak through our minister, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our desires, oh Lord. Father, we glorify you this day, and we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's have our seats. Hello, everyone. Excited? Final quest. Yes. So let's just go through a small recap of what we talked about last week. Yes? So if you remember, God's mission here, we're talking about sweeping great numbers of people into the church. Yes? Then Satan's mission is to preempt God's mission. Correct? The enemy's army. This is Satan as commander with demons and deceived Christians, right? The enemy's strategy to use Christians to war against each other because a house divided cannot stand. Going back to what we discussed last week. The application to our lives, pursue unity. In unity, God commands a blessing. Second thing, let love for God and people replace self-centeredness. Now, the Lord's army, we also recall the Lord's army. Jesus is the commander of this army and a few Christians. Remember, it was a small number, if you recall, who were fully dressed in their armor. Some did not have any at all. Most inadequately trained, many wounded. Yeah, you remember this? Now, the application to our lives. We should be fully dressed in the armor of God. We went through the words. I would put them that way if you remember that amazing revelation. The armor of God is word-centered. The waist is the word of truth. The breastplate is the word of righteousness. The feet are the word of the gospel. The shield is the word of faith. The helmet is the word of salvation. The sword is... Okay. And the word of God is... Let me just give you an example. Is everything. Yeah, we concluded with that. So therefore, we should take the word of God seriously. Yeah? Now, if you remember, the ledges on the mountain become narrower and narrower as you go up. Remember, we had that discussion. That means you can fall from any level of spiritual growth. The solution is to stake the word, yeah? Put the sword in the mountain to anchor yourself. So, with that small recap, let me just invite our speaker for the day. Excited? Woohoo! Yes.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sandra. Yes, once again, you're all very welcome. In the armor of God, contrary to what Sandra said, there is no waist and there are no feet. Okay? I wonder which version of the Bible Sandra reads. But the armor of God has no what? Sure. Has no waist and it has no feet. You understand? Eh? It is the soldier who has a waist. Glory be to God. And it is a soldier who has what? Who has feet. Okay? In the armor of God, there is the belt of truth around the waist and shoes on the feet. Glory be to God. Amen? Yeah, Sandra, some of us read our Bibles, so we cannot be deceived by the devil. Glory be to God. I was going to say by Sandra, but by what? Hallelujah. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much, Sandra, for the recap. We shall go into part three of the church civil war. Amen. Hallelujah. What time is it? 6:27. Okay. Yeah. That is a good time to start. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So we have done part one, like Sandra said. The main thing was about unity. All right? We don't have to be divided by the enemy. And then last Tuesday, the emphasis was on the Word of God. The Word of God is both protective, it is both offensive, and it is also defensive. Glory be to God. Amen. Never forget that. Hallelujah. Now, part three, today we are going to talk about the different levels on the mountain. All right? The different levels where? On the mountain. Glory be to God. Now, remember, we said that the mountain is representing the kingdom of God. Amen? Maybe we should just read where I got that from. Eh? Let's open Daniel chapter 2. The wonderful book of Daniel. The book that the Catholics hate. They actually believe that it's not supposed to be in the Bible. They hate it because it says some things. There's some end time things, eh? Which basically don't do the Catholic Church good. Who is there? Daniel chapter 2. Okay, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 is talking about Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Okay? That dream which he had and he couldn't remember. And then Daniel came and he told him the dream and its interpretation. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 35, Daniel says that then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image, became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. All right? Now, verse 44 and 45. Verse 44, again, Daniel is talking about that dream, and the interpretation. He says in verse 44, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass." Okay? So anyway, from those verses, we see that a stone became a mountain which filled the whole earth, and that mountain is the kingdom of God. Glory be to God. Amen? So now we want to look at the different levels on the mountain, or the different levels of spiritual growth in the kingdom of God. Okay? We are not going, of course, to look at all of them. We're just going to talk about those that Rick Joyner mentioned. Eh? All right? Now, he talked about lower levels. Eh? All right? Now, if you want to know where I get these things, again, just put up your hand. I'll tell you which page in the book and the paragraph. Hallelujah. The page. Now, we say that the copyright page is page one. All right? So now, the lower levels I'm going to talk about, Rick Joyner mentions them on page 11. paragraph 4. Page 11, paragraph 4. You're there? You've seen it? Okay. Yes, we're taking this Bible study, this book, very seriously. That's why I'm also very thorough. I have pages and paragraphs. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, we have to be very serious because of where we are going. And I'll tell you a dream I had at 4 a.m. this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. A wonderful dream. Whereas this guy has a kafunda he likes. Joan also likes it. The tavern in Nigeria. And so there's a waiter this guy likes a lot there. And I saw that waiter preaching in a certain church. But for anyway, as the Lord, as he permits, you know, we might get time to talk about that dream. Amen. So, the lower levels of the mountain, the lower levels in the kingdom of God. Amen. Level one, all the lower levels include the level of salvation. When you have just gotten born again, you're just saved. That is the entry level. Okay. And there's another level higher than salvation, which is the level of sanctification. Amen? Amen? Sanctification. Sanctification just means to... You know the word holy? Holy means set apart. Set apart. Now for God, of course, when he says that you're holy, it means that you're set apart for him and for his purposes. Okay? Now, the verb for holy is the verb sanctify. You understand? You cannot say holify. You can, of course. You can create that word, and if you become famous and great, it will become an English word. Glory be to God. Amen. So, sanctification is basically being set apart for the kingdom of, you know what I mean? It is not a deep word. Amen. Actually, most people fear that word, sanctification. The moment a pastor comes or a preacher says, now we're going to talk about sanctification. Now, guys, man, people get uncomfortable. You know, because usually sin, what you understand, repent, you know, hidden sins of the heart, those things. Amen? But it just comes from the word holy, okay? Holy, you know, set apart. So when you get saved after the level of salvation, you're supposed to go on to live a holy life, to live a life set apart for God. You understand? Where your body, your mind, they're no longer instruments of unrighteousness, but they are instruments unto righteousness. Okay? Romans talks about that. Okay? So after someone has been a sinner, you know, they get born again, you know, salvation, their sins are wiped away, you know, they have become new beings, a new creation, okay? Now, thereafter, okay, one of the levels they're supposed to attain is a level of the level of sanctification, where they are sanctified. You know, there should be a change in behavior, in speech, in those things, where you can really see now this person, you know, their bodies are man set apart for God. Glory be to God. Amen. Where their mouth, you can really see now they're no longer talking vulgar stuff. You know what I mean? They're no longer talking nonsense. You know what I mean? Sanctification. Glory be to God. Most people don't like this a subject. So let me quickly go to the next one. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. One of the lower levels is prayer. Glory be to God. Prayer and faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if someone still has issues with sanctification, you can know where they are, when you talk about levels in the kingdom or the levels of their spiritual growth. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter whether someone is a preacher or what. Someone can be a preacher, by the way, and they have never left the level of salvation. You understand? Meaning that there are preachers who are what? Who are babies. They have never left salvation. These things are true, by the way. Glory be to God. Someone can be a seer. They see. Hallelujah. They can see, the stream you were in senior two. And the person used to sit next to, their names, and the cousin of that. I'm telling you, but when actually they have never progressed past sanctification, they are still having issues with this level of sanctification. You understand? This is why after he has prophesied all those things, the next minute, man, you hear a story. You understand? Then you hear those things, but that prophet with cheeks, man, those things happen. Glory be to God. But that shouldn't be us. Then one of the other lower levels is prayer. All right? Can you imagine prayer is one of the what? If someone is struggling with prayer, man, glory be to God. They are still lower prayer, man. Amen? How many are we inside here? 16? 17. Yeah. It is possible, of course, I'm not saying it is, but it is possible that all of us, 17, could be struggling with this prayer level, man. So now you can show you the level LAT is, LAT as a body. Lower levels. Mutually what? Glory be to God. Now there are churches which don't pray. You call a prayer meeting a church of 200 people, 600 people. You call it, I was part of a church many years ago, which was thousands of people. Do you know how many people used to attend overnight? That church, thousands of people. Man, they can just show you where the level, where that church with thousands of people, where they were. But of course, individually, there were those who are not at that level. But now, as a church, corporately. Glory be to God. Amen. Then faith. You understand? The ability to believe God. Faith is also what? Lower level, man. If God always has to encourage you a lot, you understand? He told you something today, a clear word, a clear dream. Today is what? Wednesday. Then tomorrow, Wednesday, you're seeking a prophet to tell you about the same thing. You have a faith, trust that ability, And there's nothing wrong of, at least you're born again. Hallelujah. But God wants us to what? To grow past it. Hallelujah. Okay? So salvation, sanctification, holiness, prayer, faith, and other levels which are not mentioned in the book are all lower levels. And there's nothing wrong with being at those levels if you're supposed to be there. Do you understand? If you're supposed to, if you get saved today, there's nothing wrong with being at the level of salvation. P1. Do you understand? Okay? If you got saved last year, two years ago, there's nothing wrong with being at the level of faith. Do you understand? So there's nothing wrong with that. But it's wrong if you're not supposed to be there, and you're there and you're comfortable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God wants us to what? To grow, Amen? Those are the levels of the mountain, the lower ones, Okay? Then, in this book, it talks about the higher levels. The higher levels in the kingdom, the higher levels of spiritual development, Okay? These are symbolic of the deeper truths, of the what? Of the gospel. Glory be to God. Amen. By the way, the message, if you just understand me right, the gospel of grace, the message of grace, is one of the lower levels. And that's why people like it a lot. You understand? Because many in the body of Christ are babies. You understand? Amen? Because at the level of salvation, that's when you get to know that we are saved by grace. You know, That's when you get to know that it's not about your works. You know, It's about the love of God, the grace of God. You know, Salvation, where you learn to know that Jesus died for you. You know, So, I'm just not bold to say it, But actually, it is that P1. Glory be to God. And there's nothing wrong with it, Glory be to God. And by the way, you cannot move past that level to the higher levels of faith if you have never grasped the grace of God. You will struggle, Amen? You will do what? You will struggle, and those things, will be fake, man. You know, Even now, this level of prayer, you will pray, but if you don't have a strong foundation of the grace of God, you understand? The way you pray, the way you talk to the Father, you understand, it will be, there'll be issues. Amen? And that's why people were born again for many years, and then when the revolution, or the message of the grace of God, when it came, and it was from heaven, and it is still around, and I hope it stays, because it is of God. Now, when it came, even people who had been born again for 20 years, man, they also what? It took them also. Why? Because many of them, they had never understood it. They got born again, they jumped on faith, they jumped on so many things. That's why now somehow they had to come back to the foundational doctrines. They had to come back and build the foundation. The right what? Our friends, and most of you will know them, these guys jumped on Kenneth Hagin, the word of faith, faith. Man, guys did reduce faith, and they had all the scriptures. Then they somehow got to learn or to hear about the message of the grace of God. Now, to show you that they were babies, but these guys had been born again many years, and some of them were pastors. I know them, they're my friends, pastors. So they had been the word of faith. They had all the books, all the info, Kenneth Hagin. Now, when the Great Revolution came, these guys, pastors and guys who had been born again for many years reading the Bible, when the Great Revolution came, to evidence that they were actually babies,
pastors, babies, they actually now discarded the faith message. Said, oh, we have been deceived all these many years. The grace of God is the only gospel. You understand? I saw these guys, I visited one of them, they went in their houses, got all the books of Kenneth Hagin, Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Copeland, said, man, we don't want anymore. Now it is the grace of God. It is the only message. You understand? Now that just shows you that for sure they were not supposed to be at the faith. What? Do ye. Glory be to God. Do you understand? Yeah? Do you understand what I'm talking about? And thank God they went back to build the what? But the mere fact that they say that other things were wrong means they were really babies. Hallelujah. Amen? That is why these things of guys over wanting to be deep, you know, a carnal desire to be deep is dangerous. Because guys start to deal with things of higher levels when they haven't built the foundational things. You know, And one time they are coming back. Because those things they have in their heads, they are shouting around, are not going to work for them. And they are going to get hurt, and they will come back. And then they what? Then they grow up bulungi. Hallelujah. I know these guys, they were so angry at Kenneth Hagin. See, these guys lied us. Can you imagine? Can you think that he lied them? He didn't tell us about the grace of God. Glory be to God. These guys used to go, one of them used to go wanting a car, he went to spare motors. Then started claiming cars, you understand? And see, now that's why we didn't get the cars because what? Kenneth Hagin lied us. No, it is the grace of God. Only now Joseph Prince. Then they're like, but Andromach is mixing the law and grace. Is Andromach really a grace guy? But I'm not just hyping. I've had these things from so-called pastors, so-called, Andromach, he mixes the law and grace. So guys, I know it is only Joseph Prince because Joseph Prince also went to some extreme. I don't know if he's still there. But these things happen. The body of Christ is interesting. Hallelujah. So, the lower levels, salvation, sanctification, prayer, faith. Faith is a lower level. Hallelujah. And it's not wrong to be there if you're supposed to be there. Do you understand? Amen. Now, the higher levels, which are symbolic of deeper truth, include things, levels such as the unity or the brethren. Glory be to God. On page 11, paragraph 7, Regina says that the unity or the brethren, basically unity, is a higher level. You see, Anytime you see someone who doesn't understand the oneness, in Christ, believers, you just realize now that one is still a baby. Whether it's a pastor, whether an apostle, a prophet, I don't care, You see, Anytime you see, the day you see me, you see me, plotting, doing funny things so that other people can leave their churches and join what? LAT. You just know either I have always been at the lower levels or I have fallen. Because you see, even from the higher levels, you can fall. Glory be to God. Amen? Yeah, there's a thing called the unity of the brethren. Do you understand? Eh? The unity, the oneness of the body of Christ. Where you're so passionate about it, you promote it, you know, you don't get involved in any things that cause strife in the body of Christ. Glory be to God. Ephesians chapter 4, that verse that we all know. If you don't think that Kenneth Hagin lied you. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the body of Christ, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. You know, because our faith is a faith, you know, faith in Christ, you understand? Eh? So coming to that unity. Hallelujah. Amen. When you attain that, not in your head, you know, but in your heart and in your actions, you know, it is wonderful. All right? And God wants that to happen. Hallelujah. The other high level or higher level, actually, which is higher than unity or the brethren, is called in the final quest, it is called Galatians 2:20. Hallelujah. Galatians 2 what? 20. You guys, you should talk like, I mean, you just don't say 20. Eh? Make it sound like what? Yeah, you just say 20, you know. Glory be to God. Judith was in the UK, you know, so she knows these things. Galatians 2:20 is a high level, man. Amen. And that verse says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay? That level means you're living a life which really demonstrates that you're crucified with Christ. It's no longer just something that happened in the past before you are born again. Eh? Okay? Which is just a truth in the spirit. Eh? But actually, there is a manifestation of it. That man, this person is dead, man. He's dead to himself. He's dead to the world. You know, he's dead to all those things. Eh? Okay? It is not him or her who lives, but the life that he lives in the flesh. Eh? He lives, you know, by faith in the Son of God. Okay? This is what people call dying to self. You understand? Eh? Dying to what? To self. Some people have a problem with that term. Eh? He said, but we died with Christ. Now are you, now you're telling me to die to self. How many times am I supposed to die? Glory be to God. But there's something called dying to self. Eh? You know, Jesus said, you know, carry your cross. Eh? You know, you carry your cross because you're going to die on it. A cross is not, you know, for decoration. Eh? Amen. Carrying a cross because it's talking about death. Glory be to God. Romans says, present your bodies as living sacrifices. You know, you are a dead living part. You're dead, man. Amen? No, that's a high level. Now, one of the persons I know who used to talk about this concept a lot, eh? You know, among other people was Catherine Coleman. You understand? Eh? She said, man, she died. Eh? Glory be to God. Catherine Coleman, now this is going to get me into a subject which I don't want to talk about in LAT. I can only talk about it one-on-one, eh? with some people, but again, not with all people. This divorce thing, eh? Amen. I have my own what? My own thing, and I believe it is the truth. Glory be to God. Some of these things, man, eh? I don't believe them. Now, Catherine Kumania, she married the wrong guy. Then somehow God basically, like whatever, and energy she had to let go of the guy. Okay? So she let go. It was, of course, she, and in those days, man, divorce in America, in the church, it was like the unpardonable sin. So anyway, people, you know, then she'll be somewhere and she's preaching and people say, no, you're the woman who divorced, eh? Because you can't preach, you know. Then she used to say that Catherine Coleman died a long time ago. I said, I'm not the one. That one you're talking about died long time ago. Hallelujah. I mean, dying to self, eh? You know, eh? Where now, what comes out of you is the life of Christ. You know, eh? I've been crucified with Christ, eh? It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Glory be to God. Amen. She used to say that if you want to know the secret to the power, you know, to the greatness of her ministry, eh? You understand, eh? Why she used to carry a glory, a presence, eh? Why miracles, you know, eh? Why she was great, eh? You know, eh? In ministry, eh? She used to say that, you know, she used to say that it cost me much. You know, eh? She used to say that you will never know what it cost me. You know, eh? Amen? One of the things it cost her, eh? For her to get to the level she was at, eh? Okay? Was man, leaving that man. Glory be to God. What was his name? World trip, eh? Eh? Leaving that what? That thug, man. Glory be good. So she can enter into the fullness of what God created her. Glory be to God. Amen. Yet she liked him. Hallelujah. Amen. But she had to die, eh, to that end so that she can now live completely for God. You see, eh? She used to have a phrase, which was all of you, eh, and none of me, eh? You know, eh? All of you are none of me. Glory be to God. Worship team guys, eh? You know, worship leaders. If you want to come and manifest the glory of God and man, you just get the mic even before you sing and things change. Man, this level, eh? Where now it is no longer you, but Christ. You know, eh? The moment you get the mic like this, somehow, Christ, what? Is released, his glory. Then, now just getting the mic. Now, even now, when you open your mouth, the moment you just open your mouth, you know, eh? You understand, eh? Man, those are interesting. Those are the things which maybe there are still people who desire them, eh? But I remember, when we got saved, those years, there on campus, I remember, there are the things people desired. Dying to sell glory so they manifest the glory, you know, eh? But there are the things people desired, man. Eh? Amen? But now you start talking about dying to self, eh? Sanctification. Yeah. So now you become legalistic. Legalistic. Eh? Legalistic. You know, eh? So somehow, that's why that first level, which I believe this, the grace of God, that the message, I believe it is the P1, eh? The sanctity, eh? the salvation. That's why it is so popular. It is so wonderful. People love it. Because it doesn't create a demand on people, eh? People to style up, eh? People to go for the greater things of God. People to die to self. They just say, no, the grace of God. You know? You know, eh? That's why it's so wonderful, eh? So wonderful, eh? Right now, if you start a church, eh? and you haven't cracked that gospel wound, you're in trouble. Yeah? They will just come to Sundays. That's not the grace of God. You understand? Amen? I'm telling you, because it is, and that just shows you where the church in Uganda, where it is at. The truth of the matter is, we are babies, the church in Uganda. We love God, and that's wonderful. However, we need to grow, amen? Glory be to God. Amen? Dying to self. Dying to self. Where? You know that song? My life is not my own. To you I belong. You know, that song is that. And if you say those words, you sing them, then you live them. You know, you are man. You are at a high level in the spirit. My life is not my own. To you I belong. This is why people like that song. It is not what the words. Or they sing it, but with a mindset of what? Of the level of salvation. You know, he died for me, so he gave me his life. You know, they sing it with what? They might say, and there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? But someone else will sing it with a different mindset now. The same song, the same song, but everyone is getting what they're supposed to get out of it based on the level they are at, and there's nothing wrong with that. Catherine Kuhlman wouldn't sing that song with a mindset of the level of what? Of salvation. She would sing it with like, man, it's no longer I who lives. Glory be to God. My life is not my own. I wonder why they don't make it actually even more explicit or more real by saying maybe my money is not my, we just say my life, you know, son. But you guys say my money is not my own, you know. Amen. My house is not my own. You can actually say money. But now, my house is not my own. Get it now, please. Now, you're the buffet pastors want to take what? People's houses. But we need to get to that level, amen? If you are at whichever level you are, it's okay. However, God wants us to what? To grow. Glory be to God. Amen? So that is Galatians 2:20. Okay? Now, on page 15, by the way, the Galatians 2:20, or the level of unity of the brethren, the arrows cannot reach you. Basically, the enemy can't what? Arrows cannot what? The only way the enemy can get you down, is making that level slippery. You know, with pride, self-righteousness, basically self what? So it's a good level, and most people actually, they stay there. Then Galatians 2:20, you know, even the vultures now can't get you. Hallelujah. Amen? They can't get you now. Now that is it. But again, you can fall. Rick Joyner almost fell from that level. And you see, that means that if you fall from that level, Galatians 2:20, in a sense, it's not the devil. He was going to fall just because of carelessness. Carelessness. You start taking things for granted, yeah? You think you don't have to do anything to remain there, yeah? Rick Jr. was going to fall until man, wisdom, I think, came and what? Helped. He was getting down, man. Hallelujah. Now, another higher level, now a level which is now even higher than Galatians 2:20. And I don't know how to explain this, but it is in the book. And Rick Joyner saw it. God showed it to him. Eh? Hmm? It is a level called patience. Yes, it is there. Eh? Page 15. Hmm? Paragraph 4. Hmm? Patience. Now, again, I don't know how to explain this, so I'm going to what? Leave it alone. Maybe when I reach that level, I'll come back and what? And tell you. Glory be to God. I don't know when I'll reach there because I don't know where I am. I might be at what? At sanctification. Amen? You've seen it, eh? Page 15, eh? Paragraph 4. Patience, it's there. It's higher than Galatians 2:20. Hmm? Yeah. At the end of this hour, someone who can explain it, you come and what? And you tell us. Then, there's a level higher than unity of the brethren, Galatians 2:20, and patience. You know, eh? There's a level called the Father's unconditional love. Glory be to God. Amen? That is page 15, paragraph 8. Eh? Okay? Actually, yeah, it is like, that is the word that is written at the door, eh? You know, that is enters into the garden. You understand? Eh? And that, basically, the level is called the Father's unconditional love. Amen? Now, according to this book, eh, The Final Quest, and I'm sure, I'm convinced that even according to the Bible, that is the highest level. Glory be to God. That is the what? The highest level, eh, you can ever attain. Amen? Now, what God wants us to do as LET, we should all be focused, eh, on growing until that level in God. Glory be to God. Whereby we have understood, eh, you know, eh, what it means by the Father's unconditional love. Again, not understanding in the head, eh, you know, eh, but with the heart, eh, and then our lives will really manifest that the principle, eh, that we now we know the Father's unconditional love. You know, it's different from this, from the P1 salvation level, eh, where, you know, God loves me, you know those things, eh? Eh? No condemnation, you know, eh? Hallelujah. It is the highest level. Now, the advantages, one of the advantages of, you remember we are talking about a church civil war, eh? Okay? And we learned last week that the higher you go, eh, you know, eh, the higher you grow in the Lord, you know, eh, the more you be, the more skilled you become, eh, you know, eh, at fighting the enemy, you know, eh, okay. So it means at whichever higher level you go, eh, you become a greater fighter, a better one, you know, eh, and again, your shield grows, all those things, all the armor, you know, upon you grows. You see, eh? So, that is one of the advantages why we should desire to grow in the Lord. And especially to attain this level called the Father's unconditional love. Glory be to God. Because, actually, Rick Joyner was told, eh, that when you, anyway, let's read. Eh? He was told, the moment he reached that level, eh, he was told that those who make it to this level know the Father's love. Okay? That is page 16, eh? Paragraph 1. Those who reach that level nor the Father's love. Okay? And then, on page 18, page 18, paragraph 2, Jesus tells Rick Joyner that the greatest weapon you have been given is the Father's love. Okay? That is the greatest weapon a Christian can ever have. The Father's love. Okay? Again, it is the Father's unconditional love. So that means we even have to know what the Father's unconditional love, what it means. It just means exactly that. Unconditional. And it didn't say God's love. It didn't say God's unconditional love. It says the Father's unconditional love. So that means we need to get to a level where we get to know God as Father. You understand? If you used to call your father Daddy, you know, God wants you to grow to a level where you know him as Daddy. You know, where when they invite you even for to pray like a prayer, like in front here, lead us in prayer, where you can actually, like unconscious, it is just a part of you. You don't say, dear Father, you know, just being religious. Because now you know him not as just, okay, yes, as Father, but now it's so intimate. You know him as Daddy. You can actually come here and say, dear Daddy, and then people say, then the real man, the person we're dealing with, man. Where now it is that intimate. It's no longer just God. The Jews actually knew God as God. Okay? But Jesus is the one who brought the revelation of Father. Hallelujah. A Father's unconditional love. Fathers have, there's nothing they can do but to love their kids. I'm talking about the good fathers. You understand? It is just in them. It cannot be otherwise. To love their what? You understand? Especially if they are daughters. I'm joking. But it's true, by the way. Sometimes it's true. Sometimes it's what? Not always. But God is not like, you know what I mean? To this day, I don't understand. By the way, to this day, I don't understand. Either I didn't grow up well or something, but I don't understand why some men really are so focused on getting sons. Because, man, there's something about a baby girl. You know, for me, I just understand big guys. Boy, why? That's why I'm saying, maybe I didn't grow up well or what. Why I don't understand a son, Musika, all those things. So why? Musika for what? My daughter will take everything. Of course, well, I don't understand. A baby girl, Baby girls are wonderful, Mark didn't understand. You are first a boy because a boy, why our culture? Those are yours, and your culture is what? But there's something about baby girls. Glory be to God. If you want to distract me when I'm preaching, like on Sunday, just let a baby girl pass by, man. Joan has kids. He has three kids. He has one girl and two boys. But when I meet them and they all come, I'm more interested in the baby girl. The baby girl is can go to hallelujah. But man, Kwanzi, glory be to God. Baby girls, so wonderful. Amen. You remember when I came to see, I think you had given birth. Your third kid is a what? The one who had come to see. A girl. Then the first one, the boy. yeah, his name. I even don't remember his name. But now the other girl, the second, when we came to see, for me, I was more. It was like she's the one that came to see, man. Baby girls are wonderful, eh? Amen. Anyway, but we're talking about the father's what? Unconditional love, eh? Okay? I remember when I just got in, when I, in 2010, after our wedding, that dream I write about, I wrote in the book, eh? To do with the birth, eh? Or the first kid. Eh? What most people don't know, you know, is that that dream actually, it was a boy. That dream, eh? I saw the boy, even the name in that dream, where God was saying, conceive, do it, so that that kid will be born in the States. It wasn't Eden. It wasn't. It was a boy. You know, eh? Now, the dream was wonderful. But now for many years, eh, those who know me like from med school, eh, they always knew I wanted a girl first. You know, eh? I even had a name, eh? You know? What's eh? You know, fathers, eh? You know? That's what it means in what? Chinyaranda, eh? You know, eh? That's what you know, eh? I was very serious. I used to talk about that kid. I wasn't married. I wasn't even sure whether I would marry, by the way. I was very serious. But however, I was like, but should I marry a girl and the name was their father's? You see, eh? So I marry, then a dream comes, man. With a boy. Yeah? I remember his name. Eh? I can't tell you, well, I can tell you, but doesn't what? Matter. Eh? So, the dream was wonderful, but I was like, but God, but it's a boy, you know. You know? Then I remember, you know, I was talking about it with Elvis. Eh? So he said, yeah, but you can change it, you can go. I was like, well, let God's will what be done. However, I will know. Okay? So my wife, she conceives, then I think, yes. So anyway, the miracle happens. She travels. Okay? She travels. Eh? Now, while she's there, I had a dream which I misinterpreted. Okay? But now, when a girl was born, that's when I was like, oh, God was just trying to tell me something changed because of your desire. Because of your desire, eh? You really wanted it, and God said, okay, I'm going to grant that desire. Hallelujah. Amen? You know, she went to the, they did a scan, a boy, she called me, by the way, they have said it's a girl. I was like, no, God told me, you know, eh? And I was wrong, because after the dream, when she was in the States, God sent me a dream. You know, to let me know that actually, because of your desire, eh, you know, I granted it and something has changed. It's a girl coming. Okay? Until the kid was born, man. That's when now I gave up. But again, I was so happy, man. They sent the pic the day she was born. Eh? They sent me, yeah. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Then I'll never forget. So she's in the States. They're supposed to process her passport. So here in Uganda, I'm supposed to fill in a certain form. Eh? And in that form, they say, okay, your name, then your relationship with a kid. Eh? Then I remember, so I had to write father. Now, that is the first time, of course, I'd ever done money. Eh? I was in someone's office. Eh? The thing hit me. Eh? The whole thing that, wait a minute. Now there's a human being who now calls me father. With that revelation. Eh? It's like I think it's one of those things like if you get what? You know, you marry and then your wife, I think, like she conceives. The whole idea of man now, there's a human being, you know, and I'm ready, you know, some, but then this father thing for me, it hit me harder. It was, you know, just, I wrote my name, Moses Musinguzi, but then, now relationship. Then as I was going to write, man, it wasn't a wife, father. That's when I realized now things are serious. My wife shouldn't what? Hear this, eh? But the seriousness of that issue, I don't think it was the same as when, you know, when I put a ring. Eh? Again, my wife shouldn't hear this. Eh? I don't know. Eh? Maybe you say, you see, you men are fake. You men, I'm saying, you girls now are saying that. Eh? But I'm being honest. Eh? Yeah. Because now there's this, now for a wife, first of all, she's an adult, you know, which is a grown up, you understand? Eh? But now there's this a brand new creation coming into the earth. And man, you are what? You're fine. Now, that is it. Of course, you can say, no, you're trying to explain to why you men are fake, you know? Eh? But the truth, it was my truth. It shouldn't be your truth, George. Amen? Hallelujah. But the Father's unconditional love. Amen? You're special to God. God wants you to know that He loves you. Eh? The Bible says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Glory be to God. Remember, the Father's unconditional love is the highest level in the kingdom. Hmm? And there are benefits of attaining that level. Okay? All right? Okay? One of them we have read. Jesus said, the greatest weapon you have been given is the Father's love. Hmm? So God wants you to know Him as Father, as someone who loves you unconditionally. No matter what you do, He will always love you. No matter where you go, He will always love you. Glory be to God. Amen? You see, it is the greatest weapon. You have been what? Okay? Then Jesus continued and said that as long as you walk in my Father's love, you will never fail. Hmm? It is not only the greatest weapon, but when you attain it, you cannot fall. You cannot fail. You understand? What causes people to fail and or to fall? You see, let's look at Adam and Eve. These were perfect. You know, no sin in them. What caused them to fall? The enemy, the devil, who came and told them. You know, basically, he insinuated that God is hiding something from them. You know, God doesn't love you that much. There's something He doesn't want you to enjoy. You see, So, in a sense, He put a question mark on God's love for them. You know, He put a question mark on God's love for them. And that was the beginning of the fall. The Father's love questioned. The Father's love doubted. Hmm? Why would a Christian steal money? Hmm? It is just questioning or not understanding the Father's love to provide for them. When you think about it, everything that we do that is not right, it is basically, you know, not understanding the Father's love for us. Glory be to God. Hmm? Why should I'm working, have a job at URA? Hmm? Why should I now hit someone on the head? Hmm? No, I'm a lawyer. I have an hobby of mine, a lawyer man. The guy has made money. Yeah, a few years ago, he built some apartments in Buya. Hey, the guy is loaded. Now, his brother-in-law is my friend also. You know, and he's born again. So he told me, man, we are scared that our brother, or my brother-in-law, you know, that guy's brother-in-law, we are scared that the guy, man, might die anytime. Because, man, the things he has done to people. During that time, in fact, we went, his brother-in-law, my friend, took me to see the house, another posh house he was building in what? Mbuya, You know, a posh house, man. And one of the first things they put up was what? Those electric what? And this, So, I met the guy there, my OB, You know, his brother-in-law is my friend. He took me there, So I meet my OB. Say, hey, my OB, what's up? You know, those things, Meanwhile, his brother-in-law told me, man, this is, we're scared, man. Anytime, my sister might be a widow. You know, apparently, he's messing up widow's land. Widow's land. Do you find a guy, a rich guy who wants to snatch a widow's, piece of land, but there's no brave lawyer to do it, Guys are a bit say, oh, but we can't do that. You understand, This was a guy to get for him. That was a guy, man. You know, So what would cause someone, to be, that thing of get rich quick, no matter how, It is just not understanding the father's love. If the father hasn't given you that thing now, there's a reason, a good reason. Probably you can't handle it then. The thing he, it's love for you in his mind. So you don't have to run ahead of him. Glory be to God. When you think about it, especially, we his children, all the funny things that we do, now he is 80, you think somehow it should become thousands, hundreds, you understand? Meanwhile, God is the one who told you, you start this church, okay? Then now you're like, I'm going to grow it, I'm going to plunge people's heads, I'm going to empty other churches. I'm going to mudsling other pastors. I'm going to promise guys stupid, not stupid things, but ridiculous things. You understand? Then sugar, well, it just means I don't understand the Father's love. First of all, what does numbers have to do with the Father's love? You understand? It doesn't mean that he that God loves more has more. Like you can't say that the person who has more money is loved more. Just doesn't mean that. Though we would want, we would want to think like that. Amen? Anyway, but the point is, God wants us to know his love. And just not love, unconditional love. And not just God's love, but the Father's love. Amen. We have to get to a place where we know God as God, but we go higher and we know him as Daddy. Hallelujah. The Father. My Father. Okay? Years ago, when I was working in Mulago, I used to tell, I think I used to spend most of my time, judging these things. But I used to work. You remember? I used to work. And I used to get salary like increments because I used to do my work well. That's how I even got a scholarship to Berkeley because I did my work well, isn't it? Yes. However, I also used to judge these things. I'll tell people that, man, in years to come, my children will always talk about the God of their father. They always say, man, our father, the God, when they're in trouble or something, they'll say, man, the God of our father. Because I'll be like, those kids are going to be so blessed, you know, and they will know that it's because of their father, and the old man say, the God of our father. Hallelujah. And God wants you to know him as father, you know, and that he loves you unconditionally. Okay? In the context of this study, we're talking about war. The enemy is waging war. God is also involved in the war. Okay? And he says, the greatest weapon you have been given is a father's love. And then he says, as long as you walk in my father's love, you will never fail. Meaning that the enemy cannot handle you. He cannot deceive you that God, I want you to eat from this fruit because he's hiding something from you. You'll be like, no, my father loves me. That can't be true. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Amen. Now for me, today, I don't know about tomorrow, but like today, I can't steal money. I can't play on your heads, you guys, today, to give me what? Money so that I can go to the chef and eat chips. Why? Because I know my father's love as far as provision for Moses is concerned. My father told me many years ago when I was in med school that if you joyfully obey the laws of giving and receiving, you will never see financial depression in your life. Now, I can't please Sandra's money. I can't. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. The Father's what? Unconditional love. Not God's love. Father's unconditional love. Hallelujah. So, Jesus tells Rick Joyner, the greatest weapon you have been given is a father's love. As long as you walk in my father's love, you will never fail. The fruit, you remember, that door led into the garden in which there was the tree of life. All right? And, of course, with the fruit. All right? And Jesus tells Joyner that the fruit of this tree is the Father's love, which is manifested in me. This love which is in me must be your daily bread. All right? The Father's unconditional love for you must be your daily bread. Every day meditate upon how God loves you, how the Father loves you unconditionally. All right? Then, on page 16, paragraph 2, Rick Joyner, takes a bite, you know, he eats of the fruit. And so he says, with every bite I took of that fruit. You remember? Jesus has said that fruit is what? The fruit of this tree is the Father's love. So means, when you eat of the fruit, you're eating the Father's love. Okay? So, Regina said that with every bite, I loved everything and everyone. When you eat of the Father's love, you begin to love everything and everyone. You know, Then he says that then my enemies started coming to mine, and I loved them too. Hallelujah. How many of you are at this level? I mean, don't be proud of your level. Nobody knows if you have arrived. Hallelujah. Okay? Then Jesus said again, this is now your daily what? Your daily bread. It will never be withheld from you. You may eat as much and as often as you like. There is no end to my love. Glory be to God. Basically, today, God wants us to know the highest level, you know, we can attain. The level is there because it is attainable. It is attainable. God wants us to grow beyond the level of salvation, the level of faith, the level of prayer, the level of sanctification, beyond the level of unity of the brethren. Because beyond the level even which people don't want to hear, dying to self. Amen? And attain that level of the Father's unconditional love. At that level, you know, it, first of all, it is the greatest weapon, the Father's love. Love is a weapon. Number two, at that level, you can't fail. Hallelujah. You cannot do what? You cannot fail. Now, let's open our Bibles. John chapter 17, verse 22 and 23. Basically, what I want us to get from this scripture is that God loves us the same way or as much as he loves Jesus. Okay? So, John chapter 17, verse 22 to 23, Jesus was speaking to the Father, and he said that, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Glory be to God. Jesus loves you the same way. God loves you the same way he loves Jesus. Can you imagine? Jesus, the way the Father loves him is the way he loves you. Basically, God loves you so much. God loves you what? Maybe I'm not the best what person to talk about these love God things. Usually chicks are better at talking about what? The love, you know. But a good number of them also, it is not really, it is just a soulish, they're just what? Glory, they're just, yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17. Romans 8, 15 to 17 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus." You know, God loves you so much. He has made you an heir. You know, you are his kid. You know, you are the heir of the world. So why should you steal, really? You understand? So if you're stealing, you just haven't, Clark, understood the Father's unconditional love for you. Your place, you know, in his family. Glory be to God. And that also includes if you're not giving, if you're not a giver. Because you think if you give today, tomorrow you're going to go hungry. Again, it just means you have not yet understood that the Father is not delighted with your hunger, with hunger. You haven't understood that the Father is so intent on taking care of you. Okay? The Bible says that he delights in the pleasure of his servant. You know that, yeah? Prosperity is verse. Yeah? The Lord delights. It's a long time since I said those what? Scriptures. Yet I'm a prosperity preacher. I hear those scriptures. Delights in the prosperity of his servant. Then if he delights in the prosperity of his servant, how much more his child? Glory be to you. You can see I still know things. Yeah, God just hasn't made me what? Given me an opportunity to preach them. And so you see, God is your Father. The Spirit of God within you, you know, is witnessing, bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. A loved child of God. the way man Eden, eh? Glory be to God. The way fathers love their girls. You men with your sons. For me, I just don't click you. Baby girls. There's someone who said, this guy, Mike Murdock. You know Mike Murdock? The wisdom guy. He says that if you want to see a man at his weakest, weakest whatever, just get him with his daughter. Or just do something to his daughter in his presence. As in something bad, You want to see what? Man, daughters are precious. Glory be to God. I'm going to make you want to get a daughter. Daughters. Some of you are like, but for me, I'm a girl and my daddy. Well, the father loves you. Amen. Amen. So we need to get to know that love. All right. And when we get to know that love, we shall speak like Paul in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Paul said, because you see, I'm sure Paul had gotten to know the Father's love, unconditional love. Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, no height, no depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is the highest level God wants us to attain. And it is attainable. God knows that LAT can attain it. People in LAT can attain it. He knows it. That's why he has allowed us to talk about it. You understand? Because God thinks greatly about LAT. You know, if there's a church which is highly esteemed in this country, it is LAT. I'm very serious. Of course, most of you know the dreams and stuff. Man, we're highly. Now, God knows that these are the guys who can. So let me tell them about it so they can go for it. Okay? You know that song? A Hillsong song? An old song. There are heights, there are deep passes. Whatever you need to do, Lord, do in me. The glory of God fills my life. And I will never be the same again. There are highs, there are deep passes. You can hear how powerful that song is. If I was you guys, the worship team, you should get it. And then somehow create an opportunity to sing it. That is Darlene Check. That could have been either the first or the second, the album. Powerful stuff. Anyway, there are higher levels, and this is the highest. And I'm going for it. LAT can attain it. God knows we can attain it. Now, I don't know if this is a right opportunity to talk about my dream. But it's not, but I'm just going to what? To fix it, because I want to talk about my dream. Glory be to God. Amen. So, I had this dream at 4. When I got it, I had to wake up to see what time it is. It was at 4. So, I had this dream. I was in a certain church, which I won't say. I was in this church. There was a service going on. And I was seated next to a lady. I don't know if some of you know him. If you're in KPC those days, Pastor Irene. Pastor Irene was a children's pastor. Now she does some work at Vine with the kids. By the way, the things I've done for God since I got saved. Do you know that one time I taught in children's church in KPC? And kids used to call me Uncle Moses. You know, I taught children's church, man, KPC. Then every end of either term, there used to be what they used to call Watoto camps. Okay? The first two were held in Budoe, King's College, because the students were on holiday, so they allowed them to use the premises. You know, the first year I went to Budoe, the second year Budoe, and they give you your kids you're in charge of. You understand? You kids just see me here harassing the worship team, but we have been in service for years, so we know how things should be done. Amen. So anyway, I used to teach kids in children's church, and my friends didn't know. So every after, I used to go for like 8 o'clock, the service, with my friends. I was on campus. So after, at 10, when service had ended, I would run up to what now is called the coffee shop. That's where the kids, whatever. So my friends always used to ask me that, what do you go to do there? I told them, I didn't until they found out. Okay? Yeah, anyway, children's church. Pastor Irene, okay? And she used to like me. Then there's a year when I left KPC. And I went and I joined Trumpet Center. Trumpet Center. You see, you guys are kids, molecule level of salvation. I'm joking. But it was, you have heard of Apostle Mulinde, John Humulinde. Yeah, that was a church. It was behind where Ukraine Bank is. It's a very shady church, local people, we understand. But if there was the greatest church in this country, it was that place. But it found that behind there, even 3 cars couldn't park there. But if you wanted to know what was happening in this country, that was a place to go. It's amazing how, man, we judge things by what? Prayer, those guys were what, Sarah? Then when you go to the church again, it was just had you ever been there? All over the walls, there were maps of the world, So the church was called Trumpet Center, but the ministry was called World Trumpet Mission. Okay? So I remember that year when I left and I was there, man, I remember meeting Pastor Irene, and she asked me, "Hey, you're lost, eh?" Then I told her, "I'm no longer here." She said, "Hey, where are you?" So I told her, "I'm at E." Then she said, "Oh, you want to wear out? They are strong in prayer, Then, back to the dream. So in this dream, I'm in a certain church. I'm seated with Pastor Irene. Then the pastors of that church are preaching, and they come on one by one. Everyone, he preaches and he goes away. And man, guys, this is nonsense. It's rubbish. But that's their church. Those are their one. Then one of the pastors was the tavern waiter. Some guy. He's a waiter. The tavern is every time I go to that place, I make sure that I don't place my order through that guy. When he comes, I first tell him, wait. Then until I see someone, that guy can mess you up. Now, he was one of the pastors in the dream. But guy is not saved. But then in the dream, he was a pastor. He also came preaching, very unserious. So as we are seated there, Pastor Irene asks me, "Where do you go to church? kind of like the same thing she asked me like in 1999 or 2000. Well, I don't remember. So she asked me in the dream at 4 a.m. this morning, where'd you go to church? So I told her, I asked her that, do you know World Trumpet Mission Center? Do you know it? She said, yeah. He said, yeah, that's where I told her that I am a pastor of their branch, which is in Ntinda, which meets at Nob View Hotel. Okay? I told her what? That's where I go to. I'm a pastor of, you know, their branch. Apparently, their branch. You know, which meets at what? Nob View. Again, you can see, meaning LAT. Okay? Then, before the dream ends, I saw, I think it was either a map or a piece of paper, but whatever it was, on it there were listed the branches of LAT all over the world. Branches. All over now, not Uganda, not Ntinda, all over the world. And there were branches not of World Trumpets, but LAT. And if I got it right, there were more branches in Australia. You know, there were like either four, you know, or something like that. And then in another place, like one way, but I remember there were more in Australia. Glory be to God. And the dream ended at 4 a.m. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, as we close. God wants us to know his love, all right? He loves us as he loves Jesus, okay? And the Spirit of God witnesses, you know, to us that we're children of God, all right? And when we get to know that, we shall speak like Paul. We shall say nothing can separate us from the love of God, all right? Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 19, there is a prayer that we can pray that can help us to understand, to comprehend this love. Remembering it is the highest level, and there are all manner of benefits, you know, to attaining it. Okay? So Ephesians 3, from verse 14, Paul wrote and said, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. All right, not to God. To who? To the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. That is our prayer that we're going to start praying at LAT every Sunday. Okay? The Nicene Creed has come to an end. Now, that prayer, personalized, should be there on Sunday to pray it. Glory be to God. Amen.